Want to know how an economist thinks we'll get more privacy from big tech? Taxes. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Google showed off lots of new privacy-oriented tools and products and user agreements at its big developer conference, Google I.O. Apple is marketing privacy. Facebook is promising privacy eventually. Federal regulators are still trying to figure out privacy laws and regulations. But Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Romer says company promises and even regulations won't actually change anything because the ad-supported business model is what's broken. He argued in the New York Times this week that the U.S. should tax revenue from targeted advertising. We called Paul Romer to talk more about this idea in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. He says companies need to creatively evolve their businesses.
The ad model was very important. It made possible the emergence of Google and Facebook and supported open source software. So it was very valuable at a crucial point in time. But we've outlived the usefulness of this model. We need to move on. What we're stuck in right now is a bad equilibrium, and we got to think creatively about how are we going to get back to the vision and the optimism that many of us had when we first saw the potential of digital.
Well, then tell me more about the creative solutions that they might come up with to change the business model.
Well, one of the models that works is a subscription model. People pay to have access to a music service, to a game supplier. There's lots of workable subscription models. If you tax ad revenue, eventually it'll be in the interest of these firms to develop subscription models. The other thing that is, if you make that tax on the ad revenue progressive, what happens is you're going to end up with a version of the, you remember the marriage penalty? When two people with income get married and then their total tax bill goes up with progressive taxation, mm-hmm. We want a marriage penalty in the market because if two firms join together, we want their total tax bill to go up because we don't want more big firms. We'd actually like to have lots more small ones. So a really creative, innovative firm that keeps, you know, developing new products, it can just spin off independent firms, get the value when it spins those off, and keep the total tax bill low by not letting any one of them get too big.
There is also an argument, though, that subscription models are themselves kind of inherently regressive, and that increasingly, actually, we're finding that access to good information is almost based on your income level. And I wonder what your response is to that, if this would put information services out of reach.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just have trouble with this idea that these firms that are, you know, generating tens of billion dollars for a relatively small number of people, we're doing this as an effective policy for redistribution. I just don't think that argument even passes the left.
Well, that's not what I'm arguing. I'm just saying that a lot of information is now stored within these platforms that people may no longer be able to access if they have to pay for it.
Yeah. But look, I mean, who really provided the world's information to everybody on Earth? It was Wikipedia, right? And if you're asking, what could we do to make the digital world work for people? You know, the Wikipedia model is great. It's a donation model. A subscription model would work. A combination of subscriptions and donations. All of those things are possible. Mm-hmm. This ad model is not helping the users, or they wouldn't be called users. And it's not helping the most vulnerable users either.
Is the business model the problem here, or is it the scale? Is it the size of these companies?
Oh, it's both. But the point of a progressive revenue tax is that you create incentives both for breakups, you penalize the acquisitions, and you encourage the development of models where the customers are customers and they know what they're giving up and they can compare that with the services they get back. I'd rather live in a world where firms don't have these enormous incentives to spy on individuals. So if they had an advertising model that didn't involve all of this, you know, deep surveillance of individuals, I'd be more comfortable with that. I still think a firm that's collecting revenue on that scale is probably not a healthy thing for a society where we want to have competition and free discourse and, you know, freedom to take unpopular stands.
Paul Romer won the Nobel Prize in Economics in 2018. The European Union has also been debating a 3% tax on digital ad revenue for big tech companies. And now for some related links. You'll find a link to Paul Romer's op-ed on our website, marketplacetech.org. And you're probably asking yourself, what about those stories about how Amazon paid zero income tax in 2018 on $11 billion worth of profits? Wouldn't companies just dodge any new taxes anyway? Well, Romer told me that income is a big fuzzy pot that can be stashed in a place with the lowest possible tax rate. But a revenue tax would apply to revenue that's earned in a specific place, like by showing ads to people in Illinois or California. So there's less opportunity for creative accounting. European regulators have made a similar argument in favor of their digital tax. France is pushing hard for that one, but not all EU regulators are on board. And US officials have already said it would be unfair to American companies and potentially present a trade barrier. So I guess they might not be in favor of Romer's idea either. And for a complete counterpoint to the tax idea, you should also read another op-ed in the Times, this one by Chris Hughes, one of the co-founders of Facebook from back in the early days. He says it is time to use our existing antitrust laws to break up Facebook immediately, and that a new government agency should be in charge of safeguarding user privacy and also deciding what speech is appropriate for social media. Two super provocative pieces. Read them both and then tell me what you think. Email mptech@marketplace.org. Matt Purdy and Stephanie Hughes produced Marketplace Tech this week. Eve Tro is our senior producer. Sarah Bruguer is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.